You're listening to Episode 8 of the College of Mythic Cartography Podcast with me, Willem Larson. In this episode, I'll be talking about the toolkit of the sensory tune-up and everything that follows from that. The sensory tune-up is, for me, in some ways, I mean, I want to say it's the fundamental rewilding routine in my life. But maybe that goes too far. It's certainly one of the very core basic rewilding routines that changed me totally when I first ran into it and first started integrating it into my life. I first learned about the sensory tune-up. Back then it was called the Sense Meditation through the Kamana program, as offered by the Wilderness Awareness School. Since then, it's evolved and grown with me, and my version may differ somewhat from the original version I learned, but it definitely it's adapted to my own life and my own needs, and I encourage you to do the same. The sensory tune-up offers something to us that as rewilders and as just human beings, that I like to think of as a natural birthright. This culture spends so much effort trying to disconnect us from our feelings, from what we're sensing, and get us into our heads and get us into cycles of fear and avoidance and worry about what might happen, that we're very rarely present. In fact, most of us probably think of being present in the present moment as some kind of elite, virtuous behavior that perhaps a monk or a priest or some, you know, samurai warrior from Japan excels at, but not us. So no, it couldn't be us. Well, the funny thing about the sensory tune-up is it proves that this is always available for us, that the letting go of thoughts for as long as you'd like is a very accessible act, choice. And I can prove that to you. Now, one of the other nice things about it is that at its most basic level, it's a way of clearing your mind of things that you are bedeviling you, or things with which you are bedeviling yourself. It allows you just to get out of your head. The first part of it, the wide-angle vision part of it, I've used to, in the beginning, when I was really not used to being in my senses, it was all I needed to do if I wanted to get an annoying song out of my head. You know, when you have those songs that play over and over and over in your mind and they're driving you crazy and you don't know how to make them stop? Well, I have a cure for you. Now, what I thought I'd do in this episode is go ahead and narrate you through a sensory meditation that I call the sensory tune-up. I like tune-up better than meditation because, you know, you can probably guess why. It really is a very basic thing. It's meditative, I suppose, but it's at its base, it's very functional and directive, and there's nothing magical going on other than the absurd and amazing everyday magic of the fact that any of us are alive and that the sun came up today. It's just quite magical, but that's a... you know, that's a whole nother subject. So this is how the sensory tune-up works. And I actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share it with you in the way that I encourage you to share it with others. So what I often do when I work with new people who are learning tracking for the first time is I'll have us get in a circle, and so we can all see each other. And then I'll make sure everybody can hear me. And I'll start talking everybody in the circle through this tune-up. And it goes like this. So wherever you are, whether you're sitting somewhere, whether you're walking down the street with headphones on, maybe you're at your computer, maybe you're driving. For some of you, this may not be the smartest thing to do while you're driving. Sooner, at some point, you'll easily be able to do this while driving. But in the beginning, it can feel pretty overwhelming. But wherever you are, you get to a place where you're comfortable and you're not putting yourself into danger if you kind of fuzz out for a little bit. And as you're there, hearing the sound of my voice, you may begin to notice that you can see all kinds of things. You can see all the way to the left and right, to the very edges of your vision. And notice how far that goes. Notice how on the left side it fades away into the very edge of sight, the edge of perception. And it does the same on the right, almost like you're looking at a giant panorama. Park your eyes in the center of this giant panorama. Don't move the center of your vision from that point. But as you continue to look at that place straight ahead, perhaps a distant point, as far away from you as possible, as you see left and right, you can also notice that you can see all the way up and all the way down. Maybe if you're inside, you can see the left wall and the right wall, the floor and the ceiling. If you're outside, you can see sky and earth. And all the people in the circle all the way to your left and right. As you continue to take this all in all at once, at the same time, at the very same time as you continue to see everything, you can now also hear all the sounds. And as you continue to hear all those sounds coming at you from every direction, you can also feel the temperature of the air, the clothes on your body, and as you continue to see everything all at once, while at the same time hearing all the sounds, and at the very same time feeling all the feelings, you can also now notice the smells. And taste your tongue in your mouth. Now, that's pretty much the idea of the sensory tune-up. The idea is, how much can you stack into that experience? Can you experience all five senses at the same time, pay attention to all five worlds of sensory stimulus all at the same time? And how deep in each of those worlds can you go? So, for example, with a wide-angle vision, the very first thing, what I wanted you to do was stretch out your vision from, normally we do tunnel vision, which is like a tiny spot in front of us. It's great for reading and computer work and details. But what about noticing that thing out of the corner of your eye, that bird, that car that's about to run you over? Peripheral vision is very much alertness and awareness vision. It's oriented to movement, to patterns, to motion, and to reaction. If you're using it to observe the world, it wires you right into your body so that your awareness and your reaction operate as one thing. It's a really wonderful way to observe the vision. And the ideally is you would be bouncing between details and big picture all the time. Now, and so to continue with that, it's not just that you're seeing the whole panorama. It's also that you are seeing colors, shadows. Well, what often I'll do is I'll mention the negative spaces. What if instead of seeing objects, you see the air pressing around the edges of objects? That's a way of perceiving that I actually learned from drawing on the left side of the brain. And there's all kinds. That's a book written by Betty Edwards, I believe, is the author. So artistic exercises work great for the sensory meditation. I mean, of course, right? And that goes with every sense. For hearing, music, right? Rhythm. So it's not just that you're hearing all the sounds, but what rhythms are you hearing? What patterns? What tones? What's the musicality of what you're hearing? You can go and go and go with that. What's the quietest sound you can hear? That's an awesome one. And you can do that with every sense. What's the smallest detail you notice? What's the most subtle thing that you notice in your vision? What's the most subtle feeling that you notice? You could also, with feelings, obviously hot and cold, discomforts, end up becoming an asset, right? Rather than a discomfort distracting you, if you tune in to all your discomforts, they'll ground you even more in your senses. And this is, of course, where the ability to really inhabit your body, what some people call body control, where you can create for yourself a new zone of comfort that's more adapted to living in the actual world rather than in air-conditioned environments. So, you know, maybe on a 25-degree day, you're just you could be walking around in a t-shirt and feel fine. It's just about adapting to that's your body and your sense of comfort adapting to that. Smells, oh man, that's a huge world, especially since the world of air and wind and movement and smell is so intertwined that when you see a fire burning and you notice that it like fans out, all the smoke fans out, smells can often do that kind of thing where you tune in along a band of smell and it gets narrower and narrower and narrower, almost like a cone until you get to the point of the cone and that's where the dead skunk is or the fox scent mark is or, you know, all those kinds of experiences. There's whole worlds in each of these senses that are just absolutely fascinating and one of the things we lose when we become domesticated. I mean, there's just no exploring our senses like this for obvious reasons becomes totally obsolete. If anything, living in the city or even in small town America, you know, being engaged with within the confines of civilization, your real job is to build callus and to put on blinders so you can focus in on your little pigeonholed task appointed for you. But getting the sensory tune-up going is the opposite. That's got its upsides and downsides. You might find that doing this makes it really hard for you to keep going to your job or really hard to be satisfied with the same old, same old. I would also suggest that if you move through that, you can actually become far better at wherever, far more aware and alert and responsive to wherever you are too. This isn't just about filling you with frustration, but what if, what if the peculiar sound of traffic was something that you are profoundly sensitive to? All the different engines, muffled and unmuffled cars, the sounds of tires against pavement, that specific sound of rocks being kicked up, stereos on. You can be tuned into the sounds of civilization just like anything else. And mostly probably what you'll have to adapt to is volume control rather than diversity of sounds. Anyway, so each sense is like that. Each sense has amazing worlds of exploration that any question you want to ask, you can go for. Now, I guided you through the sensory tune-up, which is something I recommend you do every morning or whenever you get the chance. Not just every morning, whenever you have a spare moment, just tune right in. And you'll notice that all of a sudden you exit this sort of trapped world of domestication, if you are currently finding yourself there. You exit it and you become like incredibly wealthy. It's the wealth of the present moment, the richness of the moment. It's amazing. And it's so simple and it's free, especially if you're at a library or something listening to this podcast. Congratulations. You've just gotten, something without personally having to pay for it, for getting books by gurus or going to workshops or anything like that. It's a really cool thing that I don't see why everybody should know. I mean, everybody needs to know about this simple thing. And probably as children, we're doing it anyway. But it's a lifelong path of mastery. You can always get deeper and deeper and deeper. You'll notice that the more immersed you are in your five senses, a sixth one can open up. And that sixth one is kind of like the gestalt of all the five. I mean, it really is a sixth perception that is birthed from just being totally awash and immersed in all five of your senses. And so you start knowing things and you don't know how you know them and all that. There's other qualities to this too, also that actually I've talked a little bit about when it comes to the needs and feelings issue. The feelings, noticing what you're feeling, that's another sense. That's another a sensory system, specifically listening to your heart and how you are responding to the environment. It's very easy to be aware of your senses, and actually it starts feeling most risky and dangerous for me. And it wouldn't surprise me if it did for you, when I start tuning into my feelings and, I realize wherever I'm at, I'm like really nervous or I'm feeling really uncomfortable and it wasn't something I wanted to admit to or actually surrender to. But once I do, it's like a huge relief. So what do I need to do? What is this feeling telling me? It's just like that cone of smoky cone of smell that I follow to its source, being aware of those feelings has gotten me out of many, many jams, getting to a place where suddenly wham, the tension disappears and now I feel relaxed means I did something smart by responding to those senses. Also, sometimes, you tune into your body feelings and then you suddenly realize you are totally exhausted and tired and you need to take a nap. That's a pretty hilarious thing. Or, that you're have a bunch of body aches and your cold's coming on and you need to be taking care of yourself. So this is also a self-care routine in its own way. Now, I want to make sure to point out that the way I said this sense meditation, the way I guided you through it, is a very accommodating method. Now, the best way is to be in the same place as the person you're sharing this with. And if you're obviously, if you're giving it to yourself, then that's not a worry. But for example, I'll introduce the exercise. The tune up. I'll tell everybody that it's about stacking senses and experiencing as many senses and as deep into each sense as possible, all at the same time. And then I use accommodating phrasing. I talk about it in a certain kind of way, because the worst thing to do is to have somebody bossing you around, right? Okay, now you feel this, now you feel that, now you feel this. I'm not into that. The way I phrase things are suggestive, not directive, right? So to suggest that a person can feel a feeling is different than telling someone to feel something that they indeed may not feel anyway. So when I say, I almost always start with, as you're standing there, as you're sitting there, whatever, wherever a person is, I say, I acknowledge that that's where they're at. And I just think that's a respectful thing to do. As you're standing there, you can begin to notice how your vision stretches all the way to the left and all the way to the right. So that's the, that for me is the suggestive, soft, indirect way of offering this up. As you ... you can begin to notice such and such and such. And as you continue to notice that, you can at the same time ... And as you keep feeling all those feelings, the more vague, when you have less information, the better. I mean, you can just say smell all the smells, or you can say smell that. It's also fun to, if somebody sneezes, or even if like there's a car honk, I include that in. I can go and also hear the car honk and the jet flying overhead. It's like there's no unacceptable sense when you're doing this. That's the key. There's nothing. The only thing that's going to pull you out of the sensory tune-up is your mind's judgments and labels, which, I mean, enough already, you know. there are no unacceptable sensory inputs, right? There's no unacceptable smells. There certainly are unpleasant smells. The thing is if a smell is unacceptable, you freeze up. You stop paying attention. You disconnect from the world, and that's I would suggest that's our culture of punishment, and you know, thought crime. You know, I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. I don't want to think what I'm thinking. You know, I don't want to smell the smell I'm smelling. It's like it's a weird cross between entitlement and domestication and all kinds of things. Whatever it's just like with grief. You know, it's way easier to just be crying than to, while you're crying, start feeding yourself a bunch of self-talk that's like, God, why does my life suck so much? And God, I cry so much, and that's so lame. You know, I speak from experience that it's like once I got over that kind of self-talk, it became a lot more fun just to feel things. Actually, another birthright is to have the full span of human emotions, all the way from anger and frustration to terror to joy to peace to all of it, to sadness, all of it. There's no unacceptable feeling. Certainly, we have to take care of ourselves so we don't expire or injure ourselves or go crazy. But ironically, by accepting all those feelings and all the senses that are coming in, we tend to go far less crazy because it just happens. It's just like, it's being wild, just being a wild being that is experiencing what they're experiencing. And there's no filter or censorship of it. Now, then what we do, that's a whole nother matter. You know, we make decisions according to, you know, as what the most savviness and reasonableness and being true to what our feelings are telling us, and what we've learned from our lives will create a good life. That's a whole nother world. But there's never any, you get to feel whatever you feel and you get to sense whatever you sense. If no one else will give you permission for that, I will. So yeah, that's a rundown of the sensory tune-up, and the sort of the language around it, that making it more about suggestion than about ordering somebody around, and that also, if you're really with it, that'll also tell you a little bit about storytelling, which is really cool, because all good storytelling is sensory rich, and uses those same methods to open up a space for the audience to explore rather than boss them through a world. It's pretty cool. So that's it for this episode on sensory meditation and the tune-up. And I hope you enjoyed it and find this as a yet another awesome tool in your toolbox. I'll make one last comment that because this is a funny story. Some of these tools you integrate into your life as best you can, but sometimes it's just too different and too hard, and you don't know what to do. And that is what happened to me. I was on a kick where I wanted to be immersed in my senses and use wide-angle vision as often as possible. That peripheral vision, I wanted to, because I was finding that I was almost constantly in tunnel vision. And I was always forgetting to practice the sensory tune-up. I'd even forget to practice it. I'd go a whole day and I'd be like, oh my God, I'd be kicking myself. And so what I started doing was I have this favorite park I go to. That's a wildlife refuge. It's called Oaks Bottom. And I'd go to this one overlook and I just beg Oaks Bottom to help me. To help me to get into my senses and to help me to learn to do wide-angle vision. And lo and behold, if it didn't just happen. So I almost feel like I cheated. I didn't really work hard at this at all. It wasn't like I was, you know, persistent and never give up. And I, you know, just kept plugging away, nose to the grindstone until I figured out how to do this. You know, my present condition of really feeling like I always can pick up the richness of my senses anytime I want, and I spend a lot of my time there. That's a gift of the land to me, as far as I know, and hardly once I finally asked, hardly any work involved whatsoever. So I recommend reaching out for help to those who you might not think would help you. Maybe it's the birds that are the ones that are going to get you up out of your mind and into the world. Maybe you have other wild relations that help you out. Maybe family. You know, well, maybe it's your art or your profession. It doesn't really matter what it takes, but asking for help definitely works. So, once again, I hope you enjoyed hearing about the sensory tune-up, and I'll catch you next time here on the podcast for the College of Mythic Cartography. This has been episode 8.